Hi, and thanks for listening to the podcast. My name's April, but you might know me as the Podzilla. I've decided that I really want to share some things that I know because I know now that I didn't always know what I know, but now I do. So every week, I'll be sharing bite-sized real talks with advice that you didn't even know you needed. If you already follow me online, then you know that I love talking about why everybody is a good body. But there's lots of things that I didn't know about body positivity and activism that I'd love to share with you, as well as sharing my advice as a fat person so that you, like me, can become more inclusive and happy with your own body. I'm here to learn, teach, and grow. So if you are too, subscribe to hear from me whenever a new episode drops. Well, everyone, I am ridiculously excited to introduce Sarah Nicole Landry. You might know her as the Bird's Papaya. She is a mum to four children, three of whom we get to meet if we watch Instagram stories. Lemmy, Bo, and Gemma, not Gemma, as she's clarified, plus Maya. For me, I'm a longtime follower and I could literally not be more thrilled to be chatting with you.
I'm so excited. You have been like, you know, when you open your DMs and you know you have a bit of a choice, like you get to choose what you open. And I always know when I open yours, it's going to be joyful. And that is, I don't think that creators can touch on enough, because I think a lot of people think, oh, you must get a million messages a day. And I'm sure I do. But the ones that are truly encouraging and cheerful, I mean, it means a lot. It means a lot, especially in a time like now where there's like a lot of division going on. It means a lot to have just somebody who is cheering you on and being a friend. And I've loved following you. I've learned so much from you. So this is just such a nice opportunity for me too.
Oh my goodness. You can't, like, other people won't be able to see, but my face is so red. I'm just so chuffed. Oh, geez. That's a good way to start my day.
I don't even know what that word means.
Oh, I'm thrilled. In Australia, we would probably actually say we were frothing, but I'm not sure that that's necessary.
Frothing at the mouth?
Well, more like, well, I don't know if they mean the mouth. But like, it's a very weird turn of phrase, but in Australia, we say words and they don't really mean anything.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Fair enough.
So most people will remember first coming across you, you know, as a mum and a blogger pre-Lemmy. I feel like, could it be as long as 10 years ago that I would have seen posts from you on Facebook? Because
on
it feels,
Facebook for yeah. sure. I would say Instagram is when I truly started to be a little bit more into what would be somewhat familiar now. As you know, I've like evolved a million times over, but I have been, I guess, on Instagram for 7 or 8 years. So it's been I've been a blogger and on Facebook for 13 years, almost 14, because the Bird's Papaya came from a season of life where I was a stay-at-home mom with two little kids. So I named it after them, and Maya Papaya and Gemma Birdie, and Gemma was just a baby. So it would have been almost 14 years now, which is wild.
Well, yeah, because I was just trying to think when I was writing my notes for this episode, how, like, when I remember first seeing you, and I can't remember the exact post, but I just remember seeing it and thinking, I have never seen anything like that on Facebook before, ever. So, you know, a mum friend, and this was, I've only got my child's 4 years old, so I couldn't relate to it as a mum, but I saw this post shared by a friend who's a mum, and I went, what the heck? Like, oh my God, this is amazing. And so, you know, I guess for everyone who follows you, I'm going to say thank you for starting and really mainstreaming that conversation about bodies. Cause I feel like you really pioneered that. I do feel like there were a lot of people who would never have thought of doing what you did. And it was really awesome of you to do that and be open.
Well, I was kind of pushed into it too. Like, I don't even feel like I truly chose it. I was a weight loss account, like straight up. I was a weight loss account, and people started really inquiring about how much loose skin I had, which is a very common conversation to have, is like, where's your loose skin? How do you get rid of loose skin, loose skin, loose skin, loose skin? And at one point I finally was like, this was my loose skin. And it happened to show my stretch marks. And I tagged the bra that I was wearing in the post, because that's what you did. And, that was NYX, the brand, and the founder, she slid into my DMs. NYX was like a really teeny brand at the time, just bras and underwear really. And she slid in my DMs and was like, I'd really like you to model for something. And I thought, there's no freaking way, because I have such control over what I show and how I look, that whole concept of having to give my body over into somebody else's creative control was truly terrifying. And it wasn't until like I assumed wrongly that I would be put in high rise underwear because of my stomach, because of its loose skin, because of the stretch marks, that they would automatically put me in something high rise to cover it. And they put me in low rise, and I was upset, but I didn't say anything because I'm a people pleaser. So I was just like, okay, I guess I'll do this. And then they were like, let's take out your belly button ring. Like, let's make this as you as possible. And I was just, I don't even know how I got through those moments. But by the end of the day, I felt really like, oh, that was cool. But I sat with so much anxiety of like, what are those pictures going to look like? And when they dropped, I thought I was going to throw up. Like first of all, I'd never seen anybody with a stomach like mine. They were not mainstream like they are now. And I think I always have to remind everyone, like, we didn't see that then. I had never in my life, except for on my own mother, seen stretch marks that looked like mine, that were wide, they were long, they were up to my ribs. They weren't like just on like your armpits and your boobs. Like, mine were very strong and they went halfway up my body. So I remember when that photo came out and I just wanted to throw up, and it was on Facebook and it was posted by NYX, not by me. And my face was like, my face was there, and I just had to read the comments, and the comments were just like one after the other of, I've never seen somebody that looks like me, and I've never seen stretch marks like mine ever in an ad. And it ended up like, it went viral. And I just was like, hold on a second. First of all, I thought I was the only one. So now I'm finding out through comments that there's other people. And it was like something turned a switch in my brain that day, that for 8 years I'd been mourning and disgusted and terrified about how I would be perceived, that I was curating even how little I would show or how much I would show. And then all of a sudden it was like this empowering part of me. Like, this was this really unique part of me. And I was just like, I just felt, one, really excited, and two, that I almost had like somewhat of an obligation to not keep hiding that part of myself. And also remembering how I felt that day, taking those photos, that at the end of the day, I felt really, really good. And that now everybody knew what my stomach looked like. So why do I care to put a t-shirt on in the bedroom anymore? Like, why am I scared to go to the beach? Everybody already knows. The secret's been told, like, it's gone. Yep. And that just chipped away at my shame. I didn't realize there would be a lot more shame we would chip away at, like fat phobia and, you know, cellulite. There was so much more I would chip away at later, but in the beginning, and truly like moments like you're explaining, that was a moment that was a collective moment for so many of us, but including me, like truly including me. Now I see like there were other advertisements that came out, ones I had never seen, but there was other representation far before me, but mine was the first I'd ever seen. And it was the first for a lot of people. And it still can be the first. Like, every once in a while I go on TikTok and I'm like, oh, y'all have never seen this. Like, y'all have never seen a stomach like this. So, I mean, I think that's why I did it. Right. And yeah, like I said, it was truly at a time that I was still like weight loss, but yeah, that change came later.
Yeah. And that's so relatable for me. I also started off my blogging, talking around bodies and weight and things mm-hmm. like that. And mm-hmm. obviously we know for both of us, so much has changed. Yes. And that's such a great, account of what happened, because today before I started chatting with you, I actually had posted about the fact that it's 1 year today since the billboard that I did where I posed in yes! a bikini.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh my gosh, that was a year ago.
A year ago. What has happened? So much.
That blows my
you
mind.
You had a whole baby.
Yeah, I had a whole baby. My brain just went from like A to B like it was nothing.
Yeah. You're like, oh, here I am again. And so yeah, I relate so heavily to what you've said about the secret being out. So once people had seen that photograph, and obviously like for anyone who is listening in Australia, they may have seen it was actually I actually did a TV show as well. Also, as part of the Billboard shoot, there was a TV episode where I was featured.
That's so cool.
And so for a lot of people, and people like the people I work with, people I know, people I don't know, they all saw that and were like, oh, because of course not, you don't normally see me running around in a bikini. That's not one that small anyway. That's not normally.
Yeah.
But now I'm kind of like, well, what? Like, yeah, yeah. It's not a secret. It was on a 6-story high billboard in the middle of one of the biggest cities in Australia.
So it's kind of like immersion therapy, right? You're just like, well, there we are.
Okay, my tolerance. Now I got to do it. Yeah. My tolerance for public nudity has increased exponentially. but I mean, I will still wear clothes most of the
time. Fair enough.
So these days, yeah, you modeled for NYX. You're not only a writer now. Obviously, your captions are some of the highest quality. Even when they're only one line, I'm like, I get so much joy out of some of the things that you post, my Lord. Not to mention the fact that I'm now obsessed with Mario Kart. And for so many years, I was like, I don't know what the appeal is. I can't stop playing it. It's ridiculous.
So fun. Now get into Animal Crossing and then we'll really get going.
Oh, okay. All right. I will. That recommendation could be, I feel like there's something more relaxing about Mario Kart than other things.
See, that's what Animal Crossing is for me. It's the only, because it's busy work. It's literally tending to a home. You have a job, you're doing stuff. And my mind goes into the most relaxive state because I can't relax without my mind doing something. So when I'm playing Animal Crossing, my brain is busy enough, but I'm so relaxed that I'm in like such a meditative state. So me and another friend, we play it a lot. And when we're high stress, that's usually what we'll do is like, shut her down. Let's play Animal Crossing. And it's truly, I played 400 hours in 2020. If that's just wants to give you like a little glimmer of how much I needed it, but yeah.
Well, it's nice that you've got something. I think for so many people, they don't have the thing that helps them go, okay, I'm going to, you know, it's self-care. Self-care looks different.
Looks different for everyone. Some people meditate. I play Animal Crossing.
I just stare at my phone and scroll until my phone.
Yeah, I do that too.
Mm-hmm. So you're also, you obviously you host the Papaya podcast. Mm-hmm. You are a 4-times cover girl. I was like, that's so cool. Yeah, that's amazing.
I know.
And I think
it's been really cool.
It's so nice for people who, especially people who stay at home with their kids as well, who can see themselves in someone like you. And I know that you have been an amazing advocate and ally during everything that's happened over the last few years. And I definitely want us to touch on that. But I just think people who admired you when you were a weight loss account and were able to come on that journey with you, like what you must have done to transform other people's perceptions of themselves because you were showing yourself evolving is really powerful. I remember listening to the episode that you did with Rafaela in May, May-ish 2020. And I was just so moved by that. You were both sharing in such a vulnerable way. And it was really validating, I think, for someone that I really admire to have a conversation. It was like, pretty tough conversation to have. For people who are listening and don't know what I'm referring to, Rafaela kind of spearheaded a conversation around thin privilege and body positivity online, and you were so open to having that conversation and amplifying what she had to say and with a lot of grace, I think. So I guess my question is, have things changed much for you since that conversation?
Yeah, they have, because you know, I had not been using the term body positive for quite a while before that ever came about, because I really did learn about the roots, but I made a mistake in not being open about that learning. I never shared really about it. I just was like, don't label me that. That's not what I am. And I didn't do enough in the work of being an ally. I didn't do enough in making sure that people were, I mean, especially in such a fatphobic society, people were very okay with me sharing my stomach or sharing my loose skin because, and as I love to clarify with people, I can roll up my yoga pants and walk out the front door and be treated like anybody else. And that differentiating factor is where a lot of people get really, really uncomfortable. They're like, I'm really fine with this movement as long as you don't step to that other side of it. Like, don't go too far. And that's where I was like, no, I was really kind of leading in a way that was truly to a wall. It was not pushing past it. And it was not. So when Rafaela first put that, she basically had a story series where she talked about, you know, there's a lot of people who are in very thin privileged bodies, most of them white women, and they are, you know, straight size, meaning you can fit in normal clothing sizes, and they're becoming the face of body positivity. And I immediately was like, I'm not body positive. Like, that's not my thing at all. I'm just out here like, holy crap, there's a lot of shame around women's bodies. But it didn't matter. It didn't matter what I intended. It mattered what was being perceived. And I read some of the comments and obviously wanted to throw up. And I was also like very sick and pregnant, so I always wanted to throw up. And I remember thinking, I can't believe this woman is just like straight up attacking me without having a conversation. I wish she had had a conversation with me. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm betting that she just wants to have a conversation too. So we decided to have that conversation live on a podcast and really hold space for each other. Rafaela is one of my dear friends now. She continues to kind of like push me when I need it, but also like sometimes she'll be like, I'm sorry for the way we met. And I'm like, I'm not, because it made me a better person. It's made me push not just myself further, but bring other people alongside that type of learning. Like, if you're okay with me having, you know, stretch marks and cellulite, like, can we push that further? Like, I understand that for people, especially as somebody who's been healing through their own fat phobia, there is a line of healing, right? And if I'm one step to that, there has to be a stone after me. Like, there has to be another step after. I can't be the end of the line. It has to be, you got to this point. Cool. You accept it. That's awesome. I'm so glad that we've had this conversation. Now let's talk about why it's so different for me than it is for other people. Let's go into the next part. Yes. And so I really started to own it wasn't eliminating me from a conversation, but it was like, if there is a stepping stone, I'm one stone. So I really just, that's what I've taken from that. And it did change a little bit of the way I talk. I think it made me always want to acknowledge my privilege, even while speaking in these spaces. And also, as I gained weight and as I was pregnant, I began to see how triggering a lot of the thinner body positive stuff was. And that was difficult because I was like, oh crap, I was that person. Like, I definitely was doing some of this stuff. And that's really hard to like see that and experience it how somebody else might have experienced it. And so it's really caused me to like stop and reflect. And then also having to navigate, like, there's parts of my story that I can't change. There's parts of me that are just truly who I am. And I know that I still have, like, especially going through postpartum, I honestly thought that I was going to be like, oh, this is cakewalk. I'm in this work. I've been doing this for so long. I'm going to be fine. And there is nothing like being praised and adored and admired for your belly and then immediately scrutinized and immediately, like, everything that was so cute when you were eating, you know, ice cream and stuff when you're pregnant, the second you're doing it postpartum, people are like, hold on, are you sure about that? Like, or how are you going to get the baby weight off? It was such a switch, and I plummeted, like my mental health plummeted. And so everything was triggering. So I understood, like, I still need to show up and I still need to have these conversations, but it has to be this, and it has to be this, and as well, like, I couldn't be the end of the sentence. So, yeah. I mean, I adore that all happened, and I think it's still going, and I think there's so much more to go. And it is a lot of like gentle calling out of people, which I'm so uncomfortable with, but I've been doing a lot of that more lately and just like helping people see where it maybe is problematic, or just like, it's a simple swap of language sometimes and the whole post will change. Right. And, yeah. And I think I'm for a lot of people at the beginning of those journeys or really stepping into these new spaces, having to learn, as I did, to acknowledge that privilege is a huge, huge part of the whole thing.
Yeah. And you've hit the nail on the head again for me. When you talk about stepping stones, people, obviously I'm someone who, you know, fat liberation, body acceptance, self-love, I do want every person to be able to shed those body image issues that hold mm-hmm. us back from doing fun things because we're afraid about yeah. how we look when we're doing things or just simply existing. But I agree that the idea of a stepping stone is what it is. And that's why I personally am still wanting to engage with and consume the content of people who are thinner than me, who speak mm-hmm. about wanting their bodies to be accepted, because My personal experience is that I was friends with someone who had kids and had some issues around her body, very similarly to you, had mm-hmm. had kids and never seen her body kind of uncovered in public. And that meant that she really wasn't that nice to me because her own stuff she reflected onto me. And I think if that person had had a you or a whoever else that they could look at and feel like, oh, actually, I don't need to feel this way about myself. I always think that body positivity is self-love, but when you externalize it. So when you accept yourself, you aren't then looking at yourself with scrutiny, which allows you to open up some space to not look at other people with scrutiny, because your mind is able to go, oh, well, I mean, what they do with their body and their health and their whatever is not actually my business. But, you know, I think learning to be able to stop judging yourself also gives you that ability and that skill to not judge other people. And so I think everybody's got a person that they see online that they feel like they relate to. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not going to be that person for everyone. You're not going to be that person for everyone. Yeah. But it's like, if we can all see ourselves represented in a positive way, in a way that is, you know, demonstration of accepting ourselves, having grace for ourselves. You know, when we talk about self-love, love is nurturing and being kind and saying to somebody, oh, let me handle that for you. Okay, but say it to yourself. That's the lesson that I've hard learned.
Oh my gosh, you said it. And like the conversation around self-love and, you know, this was a hard one for me to really acknowledge, was it was never going to be a feeling. That was never going to come. And it really took the last year and being kind of slammed back into it of like feeling self-hate to understand, like, if I'm really proud of one thing, it's that I was the most uncomfortable I've been in my body in a really long time this last year, and on a very public stage, not like the privacy that I had before. And I still showed up every single day, and I still was there for my kids and my own wellness and my own relationship. I just kept showing up, and I thought, well, you know, maybe the feeling isn't the thing that we need to keep chasing. Like, I think at the end of the day, we've really made love all about the feeling of it. And yet in every other relationship in our life, it's always about the action. It's always about how we show up for other people. And when we talk about, I have to write something about this again, because I've been thinking about it a lot lately. When we think about the reasons that we love other people, we don't list their body parts. We just don't. We list the parts of them that make them them. And the more I go down this line and the more I see, you know, the more that you kind of release some of the shame, like we talked about, like seeing our bodies and like being able to release that, you start to focus less on yourself. You focus more on other things. You focus on bigger, it widens you to being friends with people that are truly remarkable human beings, and you aren't hanging out with them because of how good they look. Like, it's a really skewed thing when you go and you look back and you're like, wait, why am I with these people? Why are they a part of my life? Why do I love them? And really being reflective, and then seeing that for myself as well, like really letting go of love being this feeling that I'm chasing, because I am so far down into this and I never got there. I sometimes get a glimmer of it sometimes, same as I do in every other relationship. I get these butterfly moments, but the overarching one is how I show up in them and how that relationship shows up for me. And so I feel like we have so much, there's so much work that's going on right now in like normalizing stuff. And I don't think we're going to stay there, because I think eventually the work is going to be more in human rights. And I think it's going to land in a place of, oh my gosh, there's no singular mold. Because even when we look over the decades and we're like, you know, in this year, in this decade, it was this. And then this decade, it was a different body type. But we're still trying to find ourselves and like, oh, I was meant to be in the 60s. Oh, I was meant to be here. And I hope that in the 2020s and in the 2030s, we're just like, there is no mold anymore. Literally everyone is here. Everyone's at the table. We're all having a good time. We can shop wherever we want. We can go to the doctors and not be, you know, discriminated against. There's so many more layers to come, but we're like in this place right now of like just normalizing the heck out of things. And it's going to take a lot of like oversaturation, because we've never had it before. Because sometimes you feel like that, right? Like, do we really need to still be seeing this? Are we still really? Yeah. And I think the answer is yes, because we were saturated so much for decades with an entirely different image, that it's going to take an oversaturation to bring us to a balance where we're just like, I love you no matter what. Like, I'm not going to comment on your weight or how, you know, this or that you look when I see you at Christmas. I'm truly just going to be like, what the hell's up? Let's chat.
Yes, exactly. I was answering a question relating to another piece of work that I'm doing that asked the question of like, what's between you and a healthy relationship with your body and that kind of thing. Mm. And I simply wrote, it took me 30 years to learn it. I'm pretty sure it's going to take about that long to unlearn it. So,
yes.
Right.
So yes.
Not expecting that we're suddenly going to go, right, I've signed up for an Instagram account and I'm going to go just look at people who make me feel better about myself and boom, I feel better. It's fine. Mm-hmm, that's just mm-hmm. not, these are habits and that, you know, we know that the habits of the things that we've done in the past, whether that's relating to the way we eat or the way we dress or the way we think about ourselves, the way we speak to ourselves. I think when we learn the habits, even for me, my habit is just like, don't do that. When I go to do a thing that I know is not really it's not the Bodzilla. I go to say something to myself. I'm like, no, I make that little buzzer noise, you know, like Family Feud. And I just don't. And that's as much as I can do some days is just be like, don't be mean. Don't be mean to yourself.
And can I just touch on that though? Because that's such an important thing, what you said in terms of like that buzzer thing, because I think we do that to ourselves too, right? Like we have to do that for ourselves. We have to stop ourselves. Even in the hate towards ourselves, not even the thoughts we're having about other people. But with that is, you know, you talked about being in a little tiny bikini and I show up in bikinis all the time, but if I'm going to the beach, do you know what I'm likely to choose is something that doesn't get me distracted by my body. I'm probably going to choose a one piece because like in the unlearning, the one thing I've learned is if I truly go out in like a string bikini, I might be thinking a lot about what I look like. I might be over-concerned about, you know, if a vagina lip slipped out or a nipple, or I might be like, oh my gosh, that person like looked at my stomach. So I might choose to go, I might have a buzzer moment for myself and be like, we have to wear a one piece today because we're not having some great mental space. We're going to be far too distracted. So let's focus on what's good and let's go into that stuff. And I think that's a big part of like, that's truly still missing within all of this is like figuring out those buzzer moments for ourselves and figuring out like how to create that stop of thought. And it's not always like just wear the shorts and just get out there. Sometimes it's just wear the long pants because that's what you need to do to protect your mind right now. Like truly when people are healing from body dysmorphia, we don't sit them in a room of mirrors. People cover up their mirrors. They have to heal through not seeing their image. They have to heal through an absence of that validation. Right. And so I find it all really fascinating when we're going through all of this and we talk about love and progression and our own like unlearning of the hate is also learning new tools on like how to stop it, how to buzz it off, like how to have that moment.
Absolutely. And I think for a lot of people, they come to say your page or maybe my page and they look for that advice. How do I? And I'm like, well, I mean, I can tell you what I do, but also I like to eat peanut butter on celery. So I'm not sure that everything I do is going to be what
you Wait, is that not cool? I do that all the time.
Okay. Well,
that's my favorite.
It's right. Literally the best. You're like, wait, is this bad? I'm like, oh God. Throw away the plate of celery that's on the side of it, you know, out of shot. No, but whatever it is, like not everything that you love is or can makes you feel good, you know, is going to be for everyone. So I think it's more about if people are looking for their way to give themselves space, it's simply to sit down and really like think about it or maybe even talk to someone else about it. Cause I know that is something that's really helped. And I know that the space that we're in online means that we are those people for others. You said, you open your DMs and you go, oh, there's a lot going on here
today. There's a lot going on today. You know what I've been doing lately? And I don't know why this is stuck in my head so much, but I was taking a picture of myself and I was like pulling down, I had like my finger hooked and my thumb hooked onto my jeans and holding my jeans down low and took a picture. And, you know, people are like, I just don't know how you get that confidence. And I was like, honestly, I just act as if I'm like a middle-aged man with abs. And then I'm like, yeah, dude. And I don't know what, like, why can't we? Like, why are some people allowed to be like, look at my stomach? And we're just like, sorry, like I shouldn't show that to you. Or because I'm showing it, it's somehow like apologetic for it, right? Like I actually think it looks really cool. So I'm like, now I'm just like, I actually want to show them off. And we don't have to be like, oh my gosh, you're so brave. You are so brave and so courageous. But I also understand that I'm not offended by those because I understand that for a lot of people, they're in the stepping stones. They're on like stone one where that would be totally outrageous for them to even think about doing. So I understand where those comments come from. But I also am just like, whenever I'm paused and like, don't know what to do, I'm like, what would a middle-aged man with abs do? And then I just do that. And it works out really well.
Now that is how you smash the patriarchy, everyone. You just pretend.
Well, just I have a friend. I've got to give credit to my friend, Vivian. Vivian Kay, she is this amazing businesswoman, but she has this whole shtick about like, what would Chad do? And it's all about like, how would you write that email as if you were Chad?
Yeah.
Get rid of your exclamation mark. Get rid of your like, I'm sorry for, and like, please, can you? She's like, write it as if Chad was writing it. And how did he write that email? And like, how would he ask for a raise? How would he move through this world? And like, you need, like, we need to be more like that. Like, what would Chad do?
Yeah.
And it's, I just have been channeling that a little bit lately. I've just been like, yeah, what would Chad, if Chad has abs, what would Chad do? And Chad would take a lot of pictures. He'd post them all over the internet. He'd maybe start a podcast about it and he would show the fuck up. So I'm just doing that, right? Like, that's just what I'm choosing to do.
First time in my life I've ever thought, I love Chad. Right, exactly. That's hilarious. One of the other things that you've done was releasing the Pink Papaya app. So I love, the thing that I love the most about that app is when it gives you a compliment when you save your
damn girl. It's sometimes like, funny when I get your dog though, and you're like, or it's like a picture of your drink and it's like, damn girl, you're fire. And I was like, yeah, that soda can is, yeah. No, I love like, it. It's,
yeah,
I know, that was such a fun little that was one of the developers' ideas and I really, really loved it. We had a lot of fun with those.
Yeah, it was so great. And I think just the whole ethos around the way that you're asking people to kind of enhance their photos in a way that makes them feel more beautiful, but not with covering up their flaws or by changing who they are.
Yeah. Well, there's this whole conversation about like being unfiltered and people forget there's like filters that are AR and there's filters that are changing your body. And then there's ones that like evoke emotion. And there's this, if not everybody knows how to work a camera to set it to the exact tones that they want it to, or in the way they want it to. And I really recognize, especially for myself, when I am following certain people and they have a certain tone to their images, it evokes an emotion that really tunes me into that. I have a friend who talks about mental health a lot and she usually neutralizes a lot of the color. It's a very like very, very neutral colors and it brings me into a neutral space while I'm watching them. I have another friend, she loves the color pink and purple and everything that she does is like pink, purple. And you're just like bubbly, fun, you get it. But there's so much intentionality around that. And so I felt like there was such a bridge that could be had between, you know, wanting to enhance your photos for the storytelling purpose of it without having it fix your skin, quote unquote, fix your face, enhance anything, change anything, but truly like, how do you just be you? How do you tell your story in a way that you're proud of? How do you get that picture you took of your kids and like elevate it? So it just got into like the creator side of it. And it was, it's hard because so many apps, like they know what they want. Like the highest downloaded one is all about changing what your face looks like. So I really just wanted something that was really, I don't know, I would hope is a safe space. Anybody can choose for themselves if it's safe or not. But then we also did different things where we wanted to make sure that it didn't skin alter anybody to a tone that didn't feel genuine to them. Because the biggest question people came to me with is like, what is it going to do with my skin tone? Especially if they were South Asian or if they were Black, they were really struggling with everything makes me look this. So then we changed, we have a skin color adjuster as well. So it'll actually adjust to this tone of skin that feels most genuine to yourself so that you can kind of like do those things. So there was a lot of intentionality that was built around Pink Papaya app, just around those types of things. And then we added like fun little things. Like we actually used my stretch marks to make stretch marks that are glittery and they're just called shimmer. We don't call them out as being stretch marks. People can use them however they want, but it's like this subtle nod at like, they really are cool. And it's really, it's been fun to see people then look at their bodies and go, oh yeah, like I want to add glitter to that. And I want to add sparkle to that. And then see them post those images with such pride and with such, like enhancing it in the best way possible. So that made me really excited.
I absolutely love that. And I think that definitely comes across. The app is, it's a banger. That's all I'm going to say about it.
Thank
that.
You. So it's been really, really successful. It was, I'd never made an app before. I had no idea what to expect or how things were going to go. And coming a year later and how many people are still using it and relying on it. It's a free app for anybody listening, but we do have like subscription based things. So you can get add-ons if you're subscribed, but we kept it like super affordable, super user-friendly that you could really have fun with it and go like layer things and go really deep into like making your own preset, or you could just click a button and have a picture work. Right. So I just felt like there was a lot of people who were, and not gatekeeping, I don't want to call it that, but like, even the second you talk about Lightroom, people are like, what? And I just felt there are so many people who want to be creators and they have every right to be, and they should be allowed to have access to things that enhance their photos in a really easy way. So that was the heart behind it.
And without feeling like if they don't know how to use it, that they feel like, oh, I'm no good at this. Like, you don't have to be good at every, and you also don't have to be good at everything. So it's has made it easy so that if you're really good at finding, you know, really nice things to take photos of, but you're not great at setting your aperture, well, now you can have both.
100%. Like, I'm really bad at video, but I keep doing them. I work so hard on this stuff.
Obsessed.
Yeah, but they're totally accidental. Like, let's be real. I went viral on TikTok because of Lemmy, how she ate her cake. Like, I can't, that's nothing in my control. That child just picked up a cake and ate it face first. And it's gone viral all over Instagram, all over TikTok. And I was like, you know, I suck at video, but every once in a while, I'd fall into something really great.
And you're like,
it's usually the baby.
Yeah, I was going to say, Lemmy does the have it. Today's video of her and Vader set to that song from Toy Story 2. I was like, what are you trying to do to me?
I love that you know it's Toy Story 2. That's hilarious.
Oh, I was like, oh, it's fine. Amazing. So the last thing I wanted to touch on is that you are heading into the Pursue Black Liberation 21 Day Challenge in a couple of days, which really excites me. I feel like Monique Melton is someone who I have absolutely just loved following, but I love to see that you are openly, actively, and, you know, really encouraging other people to join that challenge, because I mean it will be challenging for people, and this is your second year, right? Can we talk a little bit about
I mean, I went through the 2020 thing like a lot of people did. How do we get back to normal? How do I stop feeling uncomfortable? And how do I just skip to the next part? Like, I'm just done. This is a really uncomfortable space. But I followed Monique and she immediately DM'd me and said, why did you follow me? And I've never been challenged by somebody ever like that. And I was like, to learn, do this. And she was like, okay, I hope to see you like learning. And I mean, I am a people pleaser, but it really woke me up to, oh my gosh, I'm just trying to pacify this discomfort. So I ended up investing in her work at the beginning. I took a couple of her like early classes, and then I went into a really intense program with her called Unity Over Comfort. And that one was like the most uncomfortable thing I've ever done and the most life-changing. I'm now in Unity Over Comfort 2.0. And the Pursue Black Liberation Challenge, I think why I care so much about this is because it is a great introduction and it's a refresher too, right? For anybody who's already done work to come back into it, for anybody who is like feeling like they need to get started somewhere, it's a great place to do that. It's really well put together. Monique is very good at what she does. And I just think that we really need to keep on this because as like a total lifetime thing, because in 2020, I think a lot of us just thought we just need to fix the problem and we need to move on. I felt that. And now we're seeing racism come and arise across the world. The fact that there are Nazi flags being, you know, flown again, and there is so much anti-Semitism. There is, you know, in Canada, we had thousands of bodies found of Indigenous people in our grounds by our schools that we put here from our colonization of this country. And it's like, the comfort's not coming. We have to be so uncomfortable. We have to be so here for this, because with any type of change, there is going to be resistance, and that resistance is big and it's angry. And we need to be doing this type of work. Like, it's a 21 day challenge, y'all. Like, it is such a, it's such a good thing, but hopefully kicks off for like the rest of the year. It's obviously Black Heritage Month, and we really love to get into big conversations about it, but like, truly, this is ongoing work. And I felt the one thing that was so sobering for me was just how bubbled of an experience I've had my whole life. I've always been protected to be made feel comfortable, right? Like, my whole life experience has been in keeping me safe and keeping me comfortable, and having to recognize that like that was actually because of white supremacy at work. Like, that's truly what it was. And these are big, uncomfortable words to hear, but learn them again with the unlearning, the learning and the unlearning, such an important part of our evolution as people, like, truly.
That is I think you're just incredible, because I think that's such an important thing for people to hear, and people who love and resonate with your content will need to also hear those things, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think, and it's really important when you to see people that you admire and that you follow doing hard things, because then you think, well, I can do that. Just like,
And it's not just like an Instagram story, right? Like, and I think I learned that too, because the whole time I was doing Monique's course, I wanted to be like, I'm doing Monique's course. Like, I'm doing the thing. And the more I got into it, I kept it very private, because I was like, this needs to be work. Like, this needs to be something I'm doing and that I naturally begin to like. Salam Debs is another really great anti-racist teacher that I have worked with. And she is very much about changing your lens. Like, you have to change your lens, so the whole way you view the world is different. And that it's going to take a lot of work. I mean, I don't always get it right. I'm going to get it wrong quite a few times, but it is the process of working towards being better. And I think that's all we can really do, but keep committed to. It can't be a 2020 thing. We're in 2022 and people act like it was like, oh, remember when that happened? I'm like, it's still happening. It's still going on. It's actually gotten worse in some ways. So we really have to be on this. We have to be actively anti-racist. And again, big, big uncomfortable words that I've really had to get myself comfortable with.
Amazing. And I think that that's true for all of us, even for myself, obviously I, as a person of color, but also having light skin, I have to get comfortable with the fact that I've benefited from that. And I have privilege, and, you know, being able to understand that oppression and privilege can exist together. And that intersection is a way for you to actually go, oh, okay, so I can do the work while also benefiting from the work of other people who are trying to unlearn the things that cause them potentially to, whether intentionally or not, cause me harm. So I think, everyone being able to simply acknowledge is a start, right? Like, that's, to me, I go, if you actually know that white supremacy exists, for some people, that is like the furthest they've ever come into their anti-racism journey.
Yes. Yes. I mean, stepping stones. I feel like that's the theme of this episode, but truly, like, I don't want any, like, I think shame is such it's not a useful tool at all. And I feel like the most important thing we can do is, instead of creating shame, just being like, okay, so this was your first time learning something. This is your first time being aware of something. But I think most of us start to get this like weight in our chest where we realize that it's not something that we can ignore anymore, and that it is something that we need to do. I mean, the last few days I've been struggling with things in Canada, and knew that the second it was spoken about that I would have to face hate. And my whole mantra today has been that I hope they're being distracted by me and not going after the people that this is actually could really cause harm to. Like, I'll handle this, because this is a blip of my life experience, where for some people it's their everyday lived experience. So let them be distracted. Let them come and give me hate if it's going to give some reprieve to a few others. Like, we have to be doing this all together. It can't, the Black liberation work and like the liberation of, just so many other, obviously, like the whole BIPOC community, but including like the Jewish community as well. We have to be so aware of what they're dealing with day in and day out. And we have to be willing to listen to that. And we have to be willing to carry that load with them, instead of just being like, oh, not my problem. And I think that a lot of us lived that way, spoken or not, lived that way. And that, and that's a, it's an uncomfortable thing to do when you recognize your own inheritance in racism, right? Like, truly, that's what I've experienced, is I've inherited a lot of privilege. And now it's time for me to figure out how to make sure that other people have the same comforts through this world and joy and privilege that I've had.
Amazing. You are a gem. And I love hearing you speak on it, because you do it with such genuine kind of that authenticity of what you've learned and how you feel about something that always comes across in everything that you do. But that's such an important topic. So I appreciate you.
Oh, thank you so much. Honestly, it's such a cool thing to talk about too, openly, truly. Like, there's not, podcasts are one of these like rare spaces that we can hold these conversations without people chirping in and interrupting, right? So it's truly, thank you for bringing that up, because I am really excited about the challenge. I'm excited for Black Heritage Month. I'm excited for, you know, to get to know more people, their stories, and truly work towards that Black liberation.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Well, sadly, our time together is coming to an end, which I, you know, obviously I'm very sad, but also still ridiculously excited that I got to talk to you at all. So before we wrap up, I just wanted to ask you one question, and that is, what is your intention for this year? What do you want that you just, you feel how, your intention and what you're hoping to feel like as you go into 2023?
I want to go back and reclaim the parts of me that before I had this big a platform, it was a lot easier for me to just post things and not give a crap and keep going. And I've really gotten in my head over the last year, like anxiety's been really bad. So I think I'm really ready to just like take back rest and take back posting crap that nobody really is going to care about and just living. Like, I can't believe, and maybe you resonate with this, but how much imposter syndrome so many people have on their own pages all the time. So I want to take it back. And so I'm really working towards that this year. I think anybody who follows me is probably like, but you have like, you do so much and you're everything's no, I overthink everything. So it is truly like resting and honoring the little moments and not having to have everything be big and viral and perfect and whatever all the time. Like we talk about, you know, being imperfect and being genuine. And at the same time, I'm like, but does it look good? Like, is it fine? Is it great? Again, this is me back to like my home organization, tucking the messy parts away so I can show up as a nice clean version. And I gotta open those junk drawers this year. I think we gotta go through the junk drawers.
I love that. I think that's a wonderful way to wrap up the episode. Sarah Nicole Landry, it has been my very, very great pleasure to talk to you. And I look forward to seeing the next messy, amazing parts of you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks again for listening to this episode of The Podcast, part of the Acast Creator Network. If you enjoyed it, then don't forget to rate, like, subscribe, follow, whatever it is that you need to do so that you don't miss an episode. And if you know someone that might like it, don't forget to share it with them. You can also come and chat to me about anything from this episode on Instagram or Facebook. You'll find me at The Bodzilla. This podcast is about me, but it's also about you. So if you have questions, need advice, or want to hear my thoughts on something, head to thebodzilla.com and let me know. I'll leave the links where you can find them.